Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
Today we are two-thirds of the way through The Goblin Emperor, stopping today at chapter 25. Dan. Before we get to our guy Maya, what have you got for me?
Luke, I've got a few updates here. I realized we were chatting off air, and I haven't updated you all on the saga about becoming a regular at a restaurant.
Right. The saga that everyone needs an update to.
Yes, you all needed an update, and I want to say I've achieved regular status. Last time I went there, and I will say it had been a good break from the last time I went there.
Okay.
Guy at the front, who always would ask me to leave a review, recognized me and was like, oh, welcome back, we're really glad you're here again. And
I
was
like,
hell yeah.
Could you play it cool?
I did my best. I think I came off cool.
Okay. Because I can imagine you would get so hyped when he said this and had
I
to. Because you were not expecting it, I assume.
No, not expecting it at all. I definitely did a really quick turn to my partner. I was like, oh. did you hear that? But I don't think he noticed.
Okay, good. Well, congrats.
So, thank you. It was a big accomplishment. It took a lot of work. Thank you to everybody for your thoughts and prayers and suggestions. All really good. I did all of them. So don't worry about that. But Luke also went and saw a movie.
Okay.
We got to do a little movie talk.
Yes. I love this.
Okay,
love
Luke.
Movie talk.
Project Hail Mary. Went and saw Project Hail Mary. Have you seen it?
I watched this last night. This was going to be my update if you didn't have one.
Okay, Luke. So, before we get into Project Hail Mary, I don't know if we've talked about this in the pod or not. How do you feel about movie seats that are like leather, almost lazy boys that like recline?
So this is what my theater has.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of neutral in them. I honestly don't really use the recline function that much.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like fairly positive, mostly just because they give you a lot more space.
Okay. I do like this as the update to the chairs. I like that they're bigger. Like a little bit more roomy.
I don't love the like fake leather aspect of it though.
Don't like that, but I do understand why it exists because it's relatively easy to clean. But this is my problem with them. I remember old movie theater seats and the bottoms would like fold up, right? So any popcorn or anything just like falls out the bottom and goes on the floor, right? I don't know what the geometry of these like electronic reclining kind of seats is, but I always feel like there's a all kinds of stuff mushed into them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I always feel like I'm sitting on like
without evidence though, right?
Zero evidence. I've never had like a bad experience on one of these things, but it just feels like the recliner that my grandpa would sit in for hours and hours a day that, you know, is just like there's like Skittles mushed into it and like peanuts rolling around on in the crease and there's like cookie crumbs all over that thing. And I feel like they're gonna get a powerful stench eventually. Now I think they are specifically designed to not do that. Like, I'm sure that they are designed to be easy to clean and to not have a pungent odor over time.
Right.
It's just immediately what I think of when I sit in one.
Okay. That's fair. Honestly, it's something that I've never considered.
Yeah. Well, welcome to my hell, Luke.
Dan, you're too worried about it. I can see that though. Now you're gonna have me thinking about it.
Anyway, but I will say sometimes the reclining features are kind of nice, but I don't need to go to sleep in your movie theater, so I think it's a little too much. Like a little footrest, that's nice, but I don't need to recline to a point where I'm like supine.
Yeah, I kind of switch back and forth. I'll like recline a little bit and then go back. to regular sitting. I'm not super into the recline aspect of it. I think I like the chairs,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily because of the recline.
Okay, Luke.
Is yours like, real quick though, yeah. is yours like each, they're paired? The chairs are paired?
Here's the problem. They're not.
Oh, okay. I actually prefer that because I've been going to a lot of movies solo recently.
Right, because you got your special movie pass.
Because I'm an A-lister.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels weird to me because I'll be like in a, you know, paired recliner set with a stranger.
That is weird. Yeah. But if you're going with somebody,
it's nice.
It's yeah. nice. And I will say at the old movie theaters where you have like the older style seats, often those paired seats, the armrest would fold up in the middle.
Yeah.
Right. And so then you can like, you know, you put your arm around a little bit, you know?
Okay.
If it's a bad movie, maybe you're not really watching the movie very much, if you know what I'm saying.
Okay. Okay. Look at Dan.
But
okay.
these new movies, they're very chaste. They say, nope. You have your own individual spaces. There's no, you can't put the armrest up. It's just going to be big and in the way.
Very, very chaste. Mm-hmm. The new movie theaters.
New movie theaters. Knows. Notoriously chaste.
Famously. Okay. What did you think of the movie, though?
Great, great movie, Luke. So, I loved it.
So good, right? Very okay. good.
Now, it's not going to be winning any awards, I don't think, because I don't think it's a life-changing movie. Because you read the book, you're sure. like, I get the messaging, the themes, very good. The movie, I don't think, was doing a lot above those themes. Like, it didn't have to be a movie.
I have not read the book, I should be clear.
It didn't have to be a movie to get at those themes. Uh-huh. But Ryan Gosling, very, very, he did great in the movie.
Yeah.
He was acting with himself for like 2 hours, and I was having a great time.
Right. Yeah.
The visuals I thought were great.
Visuals were good. It was kind of just like an overall very delightful experience.
Agreed.
I would say.
I think it captured what was great about the book very well. Mm-hmm. They did a great job.
They did a great job.
More like that, please. Yeah.
Please. I'm all in on Ryan Gosling, by the way.
I think he might be the top Ryan for me right now.
Top Ryan for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's great, incredibly handsome. It's just absurd.
Yeah.
And also very charming and good actor, I think. I'm into him.
Very charming. And I will say, Luke, because you know, the Ryan sort of continuum goes from Gosling to Reynolds. And I think they're both trying to do the same Ryan. But I like Ryan Gosling's more. Do you know what I'm saying here?
I don't view them as the same. I view Ryan Reynolds as trying to be a little funnier.
They're both trying to be kind of funny.
Yeah, but I feel like Ryan Gosling is like a guy who is like, oh, actually, he's kind of funny as well. Whereas Ryan Reynolds, it's like, that's the funny guy.
I think you're right, but I think they've both been... But they're also both trying to be the hot guy.
Sure.
And Ryan Reynolds is also in a bunch of action movies where like, yeah, he's the funny guy, but he's also the hot guy.
Right, right.
And I think,
used to be... I think I still like Ryan Reynolds. I used to be a big Ryan Reynolds fan. Now I'm a Ryan Gosling guy.
Totally. I think that's a sign of growing up, Luke. You start as a Ryan Reynolds and you end up as a Ryan Gosling. A real ugly duckling
Dan,
situation.
Dan, can I tell you an update to my movie going experience? This is gonna be a tip for everyone.
Oh hell yeah! Give us a tip from a pro, from an A-lister.
As a popcorn connoisseur, mm-hmm. many are calling me.
Yep. It's true.
Well, first off, you've done nutritional yeast on popcorn before, correct?
Actually, no, but I've heard this tip.
Okay. Okay. First off, at home it was the go-to. Put some nutritional yeast on the popcorn.
See
now,
why?
Okay.
All right.
I am a big enough nutritional yeast fan.
No, do you bring it to the theater?
at this movie, brought nutritional yeast in and poured it over my popcorn in the movie seats. Amazing. And it was awesome.
Amazing.
It was so good.
Amazing tech from Luke. You know what you really need to do, Luke?
Yeah.
You need to ask them if they have some. Because this is how this is how innovation happens, Luke. They don't know to even think of putting nutritional yeast on it when they're making it back at the stand. But if you're like, hey, do you guys have any nutritional yeast to put on? If you just act like it's a thing that a movie theater would have to put on popcorn. And they're like, no. You can be like, what? What?
I like it.
All right. And then you don't tell them that you brought your own.
And then I'm like, all right, I'll just use my own and whip it out.
No. You can't tell them. You can't tell them you brought your own, because then they'll see through your charade. And they'll say, okay. Oh, he didn't actually expect us to have any. That's why he brought his own.
Okay.
You do that in the dark of the theater, where you correct their blunder here. Because then if they just have some, you don't have to be a psycho and bring your own nutritional yeast to the movie theater.
When I tell you, okay, so I have status, as has been hinted at.
Wow.
And
Luke's the first one we're going to eat when we eat the rich, guys.
That's right. And I get a medium popcorn, which automatically gets upgraded to a large. And so because of my nutritional yeast addition, I ate a full large popcorn with nutritional yeast on top because it was so good. Also, the movie was really long, which is good.
It was very long. Yeah. Luke, I will say I'm going to jump in here quick. I do a hot sauce when I make popcorn at home, because I love a little salty, sour treat with my popcorn. I will try nutritional yeast next time. My question for you, Luke, about nutritional yeast. Does it have salt in it? Like, is it also just very salty?
No, it's not.
Okay. I'm going to try.
If you do salt, you need to do it as well. The thing is, you have to have maybe a little butter on there. Maybe a little something so that the nutritional yeast like sticks to the popcorn. Otherwise, it all like drops to the bottom.
Okay. I got you. I'm going to try that next then. Because you're not the first person who's recommended nutritional yeast to me on popcorn.
Give it a shot. I was embarrassed when the nutritional yeast bag that I have that I brought has like, it's not Velcro, but it sounds like Velcro.
Oh my God.
It's us in the dark of the movie theater.
He's got like a tactical nutritional yeast pouch on his belt.
Right. Meanwhile, the person that I'm sharing a love seat with is like, what are you doing? It was great. I'm a menace in the movie theater.
I love
but it. It's awesome. So
Luke's like offering people next to him some of his
I fear that the image that listeners have of me now is sullied forever, but
I think they've known for a while, Luke.
Okay. All right, good warm-up. Fun warm-up. Luke and Dan rarely come together that perfectly. But anyway.
Let's talk
to the book.
Book.
Goblin Emperor up to chapter 25.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing I want to start with.
Yeah.
And I have a couple notes that I think are somewhat related to this, but Maya, our emperor, goes to some like social functions.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And at a lot of them, he has a lot of awkward interactions. Mm-hmm. And he feels awkward because he's bad at socializing and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
This is crazy.
Okay. Okay. All right.
He must be so much worse at socializing than I think we are realizing.
Ooh. Okay, say more.
Because hear me out on this. Everyone that he interacts with has a real and serious like incentive to make this interaction go well.
Correct.
In addition, this is at court, right?
Yep.
So all of these people are like trained socializers.
Yes.
So you have a bunch of like people that are professionally good at having polite interactions.
Uh-huh.
With the person that they would benefit the most from having a positive interaction with.
Right, the center of the solar system. And
he is still managing to make those interactions basically without fail incredibly awkward.
Okay, not without fail, Luke. I will say there is a difference between him thinking they're incredibly awkward and them actually being incredibly awkward, right? Like, we all know those circumstances where we have felt we are just like the stupidest person in the room, no matter what we say. And that, in almost every single case where I have thought that, at least, I have had to like think about it later and be like, no, actually, like, you were fine. You just were really self-conscious in that moment. And like, okay, it actually wasn't a big deal. Nobody could hear your voice shaking, or like, it was literally not that. And so I think that is a component we need to acknowledge here. I think the other component, though, that is, I think, embarrassing is how much like silence he lets sit. It's because often these interactions start with an awkward silence. So a few times it's described as an awkward silence that almost turns lethal, and I'm like, okay, first off, not quite, buddy.
That happens more later. Steps between those
that happens later also. but I'm like, how long is this silence? Like, you gotta say something, my friend. It you're the emperor, and this is where I feel like the onus is a little on him. Like, they're trying to impress you, my guy. You get to say whatever you want. I don't understand why he cares so much about, like, the, if they think he's cool.
Right.
He wasn't even that shocked when they tried to depose him.
I know.
And he was like, you know what? Actually, if they let me abdicate, that wouldn't be that bad. I'd be kind of into that. It's like, you don't actually care about this. You kind of hate it.
Right.
Just be you, guy.
Yeah, I mean, I get it, though.
Sure.
Because he's very insecure.
Yep.
And so, like, to your point, it makes total sense for him to just like always be in his head.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think his past with Setharus is also a big part of that too.
Yes. Which I will say, last episode, I underestimated how bad Setharus had been to him. So let me correct the record on that one. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe you're right that a lot of these interactions from a more objective standpoint are less awkward than he thinks that they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, well, let me move on to my kind of related point.
Yeah.
Which is, I feel like people should be trying harder to be friends with him.
Yeah, hard agree.
There's a couple examples of people actually doing so.
Yeah.
The first is, I forget his name, but it's like the son of the chancellor.
Mm-hmm. Like Nuvel or something like that.
Nuvarus or something, yeah. Yeah. Who, oddly enough, at least so far, doesn't actually seem to be doing it for any personal gain.
He seems like, honestly, the vibe he gives me is he and his buddies are in a frat, and Maya is just like around them a lot, and they're like, they don't care. They're just like, yeah, you can hang with us, it's fine, and they're just talking about their frat stuff.
Right, when they're all together. But Nuvarus, or whatever his name is, does like go out of his way to like
invite him. Yeah.
And invite him.
Yeah.
Which is very nice.
It is nice.
And like, if he wanted to, it would like rebound to his benefit very strongly. Right.
Yes. Yes. And there's a few other examples of this. But what I think is really interesting about these examples, Luke, these become suspicious to me if I'm the emperor. And
yeah,
I actually trust the people who don't seem to really be vibing with me initially. like the ones who are sort of like more critical of me without knowing me at all, they I trust them more, honestly, because they're not just trying to get something from me. It's clear that their motivations are probably more like their motivations. If I am able to befriend one of them later, I would trust that much more. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. I do think that this comes down to, like, again, how good you are at, like, befriending the Emperor correctly. Like, if
right
you come
now, it
across,
doesn't seem
like,
hard, honestly.
Right. Like, if you come across kind of, like, sleazy and, like, overly, like, overly nice to him, then it's, like, that's a little suspicious.
Unless you're hot.
Unless you're hot. But if you do it in a way that seems more genuine, I think it would work.
Yeah, which you've already mentioned, these are professional flatterers.
Right.
Somebody needs to take them to school again.
Well, because like, and so the other example that I think you're kind of hinting at is the singer.
Mm-hmm.
Who they have many interactions, and it's like, I think she always makes a point of like talking to him.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem like that crazy, you know?
What do you mean when you say that like, crazy?
Like, it never seems like, she's not like overly forward, I don't think, for most of the time.
When you say overly forward, do you mean something like suggesting they go back to his room?
No. I mean, before that, like, they are at a lot of the parties together, and she will always, like, go say hey, and, like, is clearly, like, trying to be nice to him, but not up until, like...
up until she does ask for a favor.
Right, but I think that she, like... Okay, hang on. Let me actually back up before she does us the favor.
Yeah.
Which is his fiance comes up to him and is like, you know, she's using you, right?
Yeah.
And he says like, yes, of course she's using you. Or of course
she's
using
me. He actually says, yeah, what do you think, I'm a fucking idiot?
Right. But like the way, like, I just want to think about this as literally what is happening.
Yeah.
Which is that this person is being nice to him.
Yeah.
And is being rewarded to it, or sorry, and is being rewarded for it by, like, him liking her interactions.
Yeah.
And then, like, I think what his fiance means by this is that, like, she gets some kind of, like, social credit for talking to the Emperor a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're like, yeah, if you're nice to someone, they like you back. what are you talking about? This is not, like, that's just how human interaction works. I realize that you can try to make this transactional, but, like, yeah. Everyone should do that. Everyone should be nice to people.
Especially the Emperor, guys.
Especially the Emperor. Like, this is not, it's not like that nefarious of a plan. Like, I'm gonna trick him into liking me by being very likable.
Yeah, correct. It's complicated. It takes a real plotter to figure that out.
Right.
Yeah. Luke, but maybe this is why the court. Okay, do you think nobody in the court thought he would make it this far? Because I'm starting to get the sense that nobody thought he would actually last this long.
Yeah,
because I think that might be part of the reason why nobody's really doing this to him yet, is because they're like, when the next guy gets in power, which is going to be in like a month tops, we don't want to be the ones who are on the Hobgoblin's team. We want to pretend like we were against it from the start, so that we're in the favor of the actual emperor when he shows up.
Sure.
And so maybe this like attempted coup was actually way deeper than they thought. They just did a really bad job, and now everyone's like, "Oh yeah, we had no idea, dude. I'm so sorry." And then here's going to be the big tell, Luke. Honestly, the big tell is if people are way nicer to him now.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, fuck you guys.
Right. This is a good point. Yeah. So I honestly hadn't thought about people just like not thinking he was going to last.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think keep an eye out if people are suddenly being a lot nicer to him.
Yeah.
I do briefly want to talk about. So this singer who's been nice to him when no one else has and is hot suddenly asks him to leave the party with her and go talk to her sister in a private place.
Right.
Okay, Luke. First thought as an 18-year-old newly emperor boy is like, oh, hell yeah, let's go. Now, right. Hold on, though, because your second thought needs to be, this seems too good to be true. Also, my dad and whole family just got exploded, and I'm trying to push through some crazy-ass reforms right now. Maybe I'm not going to leave this public place with a basic stranger to go meet another person who I've never met before. Maybe it just sounds way too good. Maybe this thing you're offering me is actually very dangerous and I need to say no to this.
Right. Right.
Maya, your survival instinct is in the floor right now.
I think this is a theme, honestly. I think this comes up a few times of how bad his survival instincts and how like low his suspicion is of others.
He basically apologizes to the like wizard who almost got him killed. He's like, yeah. God, I actually really like that guy. Like, is there a way I can keep him around still?
Yeah. Yeah.
There's
a time when he, and we can come back to the interaction with the singer, but he, after he survives this coup attempt.
Yes.
And he's being asked to go talk to his like wizard guard guy that betrayed him.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, yeah, like, do I don't actually need like a guard for this, right? Like, there's no way he would actually attack. Like, I have no concerns about him attacking me. It's like, what?
It's like, dude, he literally just did. Like, less than 24 hours ago, he attacked your other guard and they kidnapped you because of it.
Right.
What do you mean?
It's wild.
It's so crazy, Luke, that in fact, it gives him away.
Oh,
because theory? Luke.
Building?
Luke, I know who killed the Empire. The emperor, the previous emperor's whole family.
Okay. Okay.
Luke, why is Maya not afraid of the assassins everywhere he goes?
You think it's Maya? You think Maya's the murderer?
He did it, dude, for sure. And you know how he did it, Luke?
No.
Sethrus.
No, I don't. Okay.
Sethrus was his man on the inside. His wife is like really involved in the court. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
She's there getting the intel. He has promised Sethrus a high up place in this new empire that he will forge. But the problem is, Sethrus is his link back to the crime. So as soon as he actually gets in power, he's got to send him as far away as possible.
Okay. All right. It's an ambitious theory.
Now, Luke, I will say massive motive for Maya, right?
I mean, to be, you become emperor.
Huge motive, become emperor. Your dad sucked.
Yes.
And you didn't even know him. So, like, no real loss there. I think it's an opportunity for him to learn more about his mom that he would never have had.
Okay.
Think about how much he's learning about his mom. And he is, like, really into all this stuff, right?
Right, right.
So all I'm saying is really high motive here. And I think with his connections with the Goblin Empire, like the Goblin Kingdom, I think he would have a lot of potential to... I think he has access to a fair amount of resources to make something like this happen. He's got a neighboring, potentially powerful kingdom that would help put him on the throne.
Right.
And Luke, this is why the like Goblin King is coming.
What do you expand more on that one?
They've basically helped him coordinate this plot.
Uh-huh. Of course.
So he's coming to be like, all right, now that you're the emperor, we got to talk about how things are going to work. Okay.
Got to talk business.
We got to talk business, buddy. All right.
Okay.
First thing, you're going to get that bridge built.
Oh, so are you saying that the goblins are not going to have demands?
I mean, they have to. Otherwise, they reveal what they've done for him.
Sure.
And he's on the chopping block. So that's the theory. Right now, it was Maya. We're going to learn more about this over time, I think. Especially, I mean, this is also the reason why he's hired a psychic to do his investigation.
Yes.
Because, like, come
on. You don't believe in the psychic?
Because, like, literally no one believes that the psychic is real. Because, like, everybody's like, yeah, we don't really hire those investigators because they're psychics. Meanwhile, Maya's like, oh, I like this one, though.
He's cool.
He says he could talk to ghosts. Let's get him in here. He'll tell us what happened. Oh, he suddenly had to go continue his investigation up north. Don't worry about it. He's still working hard. Trust me. We're going to crack this case. I promise. He's not going to, Luke. Until it becomes convenient to throw somebody else under the bus, which we'll probably get to in the next episode. But I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves. We can't know who he's going to throw under the bus just yet. There's not enough clues yet. But Maya? Maya's the one.
Okay. Okay. I like it. I don't know if I'm buying in 100%.
We'll talk.
Like I said, I think it's an ambitious theory, and I support that.
We'll talk next step about it. Yeah,
we'll talk next step about it. I do want to take this opportunity to talk more about the psychic detective guy,
Kelahar. Yeah,
Kelahars.
No, it's Kelahar. Yep.
Okay. So. Ignoring your shenanigans about his magic being fake.
Yeah.
Which is not true. Obviously, it's totally real.
Yeah, sure.
And very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
Really good. So he tells this story to Maya.
Yes. About his shame,
About his shameful... About his shame, basically.
Yep.
And it boils down to essentially that... he's gay,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is basically what his shame is, right?
Okay, I was trying to figure this out the whole time.
I think that's what it is, and this is why I bring this up, because the story that he tells,
yeah,
is the opposite of a scandal.
Correct. This is why I was so confused by it.
Because the story he tells is basically that the man that he was in love with kills his wife, and then Kelahar has to convict him
mm-hmm.
and does so.
Yep.
Correctly.
Yes, even at great personal cost.
And it's like, okay, so like, this is a story of you proving your like impartiality.
Yeah, this is like one of the best.
This is a, like a humble brag.
Yes, that exactly.
You're doing right now.
This is the best recommendation you could have provided. If you answered this as like, what is your greatest weakness on an interview, they would be like, you're the CEO now.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I don't get why this is why I was like, okay, I think the shame thing is just that he's gay.
Yeah.
And then the story thing is irrelevant.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Unless he made up the story to be like, well, if he doesn't like the fact that I'm gay, I'll just tell him I'm really good at my job and maybe he'll keep me around.
Right. Right.
And he's like, don't ask anyone else because they'll tell you a different story. Meanwhile, they're like, he never came to work. He was like always at the club.
Right.
He was not a good employee.
That's what the widow that he has this weird relationship with was going to tell him. But Kelleher got there first and was like, I have to tell you this. I want you to hear it from me.
Right. Right, exactly. Well, because he's supposed to have been on the payroll as a personal chaplain.
Right. Right.
And he's like, listen, she's always looking at my bank statements. It's not true, whatever she says. Yeah, I was struggling with this. Was it really that he was gay? Because I think you're right. That makes sense. Otherwise, it doesn't really. I could not figure out what the shameful part of any of that was.
Yeah.
Okay. Damn. Come on, guys. So they're not as racist as we were expecting, but way more homophobic, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Too bad.
Which honestly kind of goes like opposite of what I'm used to for elves. I feel like elves in my experience of reading are much more racist, but also more accepting of like sexual stuff.
Right. Elves are all bi, along with hobbits.
Yeah. Yeah.
In different ways, mind you. In very different ways.
True. So the vibes are way different.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The thing that I want to ask actually about this world, Luke. Mm-hmm. So they describe some of their meals, which tells us something about what exists in this world. For example, they have a cucumber salad and a pork, I think a pork loin at one point. Mm-hmm. Do you think the pigs have round ears in this world?
Interesting question. I hadn't thought about this.
You know? Do you think they have round ears, though?
I'm going to go round ears, yeah.
Hmm. Crazy. That's all I had.
What? Okay, okay.
That's really all I had on that.
That's a good note. Thank you. Yeah. I feel like there was another weird food thing that I didn't note down, but I realized. Anyway.
Did you note they're hunting cats and search mongoose?
No.
Oh, look. This is during Kelleher's story, where he's talking about how the guy dumped her body in a well, but they found her using their hunting cats and search mongoose. And I was like, I you whimsical motherfuckers. So you've got pigs, but you don't have like search dogs. You've got like cats.
Well, but they do have the concept of search dogs because in the most recent chapter, we get a story about them playing like Fox and the Hound.
You're so right, Luke. What the? This town that this story is not real, Luke. I think he made this whole fucking thing up.
For sure made it up, yeah.
Golly. And he's like, no, I gotta go north real quick. Don't worry, I'm still doing the investigation.
I love it, honestly. Good for him.
This dude is like doing a Ouija board and like holding up a ghost meter in a cold room being like, oh yeah, there's definitely spectral energy in here.
Is this this is like a great grift, I think he's
it's,
got going on.
It's so good. And he hasn't been able to sell it to anybody for so long. And now this new guy comes into town and he's like, hey, I'm actually really good at this. I can talk to the dead. Nobody will tell you that, but I can.
I talk to the dead. I escape from whimsical hunting mongoose. Yeah.
It's good stuff. It's good stuff, this guy.
It is good stuff. I have a small thing
that
I want to ask you about. So if you're an emperor, you have to delegate a lot of tasks, right?
Yeah.
So you're like asking people to do things all the time. How often are you like following up to make sure that those things get done?
Very rarely.
Because like a lot of the big ones you would know, right? And like maybe it is part of a larger thing that you would figure out if it didn't get done. But like the one that I was thinking of, and this is going to be weirdly specific.
Yeah.
But he goes and sees this very old woman who is dying.
Oh,
who
yeah.
was like very nice to him
mm-hmm.
when he was there for his mother's funeral.
Yeah.
And after this interaction, he asked them if they need anything, and they ask for like more coal to heat her room.
Yeah.
It's like the smallest request of all time.
It's like, come on, guys, we're in a climate crisis right now. Like, figure out a different way to heat your apartment, please.
Heat pumps are so efficient.
Get a heat pump. God, anyway.
And keep in mind that like everyone in his on his staff thinks that this is a waste of time.
That's
right?
not
because
true.
No one quite. I feel like a lot of people don't quite think the same way that he does.
That is true.
I guess on the upper level of his staff.
Let's say. Okay. We're gonna talk about this more. I want to let you finish your point here because
So he, I for some reason keep forgetting his like secretary's name or his assistant or whatever we're calling
Kasera?
Him. Ksevet or something.
Ksevet is it. Yeah.
He's like, see to it that they get some extra coal.
Yeah.
And like that could so easily just not happen.
Right. So, okay. I think you're correct. Same thing with the like providing for the headstone for the people who died in the crash, right?
Right.
These like little things that he's doing could never happen. Okay?
Right.
I think early on when he shows up, you make sure everything he says happens because you don't know if he's going to start chopping heads, right?
Yeah.
So that's a risk. And so I think that danger makes it more likely that anything he says gets done in the first maybe week. Maybe two, actually, because you want to be sure.
Yeah.
But then it falls into this category that I like to call, dude, the emperor is nice? What?
Right.
And in this case, everyone is just so surprised that the emperor would actually be like a nice guy that they're like, oh, of course we'll do this like nice thing that I didn't even think of. You're making me feel like an asshole now. Like that's actually going to the top of my list. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, interesting. I actually thought you were going a different way with this.
No, they're like, that's going to the top because it's going to make my day.
Sure. Okay.
I get to go hand deliver a bunch of coal to a stinky old lady. I'd love that.
What a treat. I thought you were going to say that people realize that he's nice and so that he's not going to punish them if they don't do their jobs well.
I think this is why the job gets done regardless. Now I will say, I think it depends on having the right staff here.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, granted, we had that issue with the one wizard that wasn't so good. Maya is the luckiest fucking emperor I think that's ever existed in his picks, in his draft picks, Luke.
Yeah.
Like, he found the secretary who was like, yes, I am going to empathize so much with you helping the little guy. Let me tell you this story that happened to me that perfectly encapsulates why I'm going to be so invested in your kindness and consideration for people that are often uncared for. And he also gets 3 out of 4 bodyguards that are like, wow, you're great, and we're going to protect you with our lives, even though you're doing things that are like kind of unorthodox and weird in the core, and a lot of people are asking us to help you, us to help them kill you or get you out of power.
Right. Right.
How did he do that? He got so lucky, Luke.
Yeah.
Because
maybe he's a great judge of character. Dan.
He's a great judge of character, but they're all built on awkward silences that he's just been staring into people's eyes, like reading their thoughts, right. Like a psycho.
Right.
Because you're right, Luke.
He can judge how good of a person you are by how you react to prolonged silences.
Yes. Yes. But these things can definitely be falling through the cracks. I think I'm choosing to hope that they're real, that they've actually been getting done, because we do have no way of verifying it. But it would be hilarious if at the end of the book, all these people he's promised things to are like, yeah, that fucking asshole came through and said he was going to give me coal or a headstone. Nothing. Dude never gave me anything.
This is what I'm thinking of, because like, if you do the things and they get done, you're remembered well, right?
Yep.
If you say that you're going to do them and it never happens, it's honestly worse.
It is worse
than if you didn't, right? If
you're
you didn't say anything. And so, like, I would almost feel like I should be following up on these things. Or, like, you would at least need to make it clear that you want those to be, like, actually getting done, right?
Right. You want to talk to your secretary and be like, hey, I wasn't just bullshitting them earlier. Like, I really want you to do that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, Luke. You're right. Maybe he is following up. Luke, I want to talk about the one wizard who he didn't guess right on.
The guy that betrays him.
The guy that betrays him. Dejavar, I think, or something like that.
I think you're Dazin? Mixing two of them. Dazin? I think he's Dazin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Dazin betrays him. First question, Luke.
Mm-hmm.
Where are all the spells? This spell that he did sounds so powerful.
Yeah.
I need
the one that knocks out the other guard, right? That's what you mean?
Yes, it knocked out the other guard, and they also described it as very powerful.
Yeah.
First off, doesn't seem like there was a lot of like consequences on the person who cast the spell. Doesn't seem like he had to make some huge sacrifice to be able to cast the spell. Like, he's still got his limbs intact, he's talking fine, he's upset, obviously, but like, he's not in a coma or like having to recover from casting this big, massive, powerful, stinky spell.
Mm-hmm.
So like, why aren't they casting spells willy-nilly? Like, all right, it's a little cold in here. Boom, heat spell. We're warming this up for you, Emperor. The lights aren't bright enough. Boom, prestidigitation. Let's turn those lights up a little bit. Like, I'm casting spells, guys. I'm not just sitting here in my shabby robes being like, yeah, I need to think a lot about books and such.
Right.
I mean, I am, but like, they should be casting spells.
I agree. I 100% agree.
It's like, you guys have all this cool What else can you do? Tell me now is what I want to know. If I'm, here's the thing. Here's the biggest thing in this world. I'm Maya. I learned that a wizard casts a spell that knocks out one of my bodyguards. I immediately, day two, I'm like, show me all the spells you can cast right now.
Yeah. Give me a list of spells you know.
And show me how rad they are.
Yeah. Incredible lack of curiosity around the magic, for sure.
And you don't have, like, a counter to this exact circumstance?
Yeah.
Like a little bell? Like, make them wear a little bell on their collar that rattles when they hit the floor or something? I don't know.
Yeah, there's a time when he's the other guard that gets knocked out is like really like saying that he should resign because he failed him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, no, you shouldn't. You had like, there's no way you could have done anything about this.
Well, that's what Maya says. Yeah,
that's what Maya says. And like, maybe that's true. We don't know enough about the magic to know if like a non-magic guy can like prevent it,
right?
But like, I don't know. It seems like it's really easy to attack the emperor.
Yeah, maybe ask if there's anything he could have done about it.
Like, yeah, like in hindsight, like what would you do now?
Theoretically, now imagine you did know he was a traitor. What would you do instead?
Right.
Oh, you just hope the next person is cool. Okay, cool. I feel really good about this whole vibe.
Yeah.
And we're not allowed to have more than one as my guard at one time? Okay. Seems like a problem, but that's fine.
No, Dan. No one wants to do it. No one wants the job.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
I love that no one wants the job because this guy has to do this like ritual suicide. And it's like, well, I mean, to be fair, like, if you don't attack the emperor, this won't happen to you.
I also, Luke, I want to talk about this like ritual punishment suicide thing.
Yeah.
Now, not to minimize it, did you think it was going to be way worse than it was?
Worse how?
Worse, like, pain worse. Worse, like they were going to inflict some serious suffering on this person because of the horrible crime that they've attempted.
Honestly, no.
See, because here's why I thought it would have to be worse. Because it feels like something that I guess I'm too primed from Raven Scholar, where it's like, if you do treason, we will imagine the worst possible punishment we can give you and then make you go do that alone.
Yeah.
This one, it's like, this guy, one, tried to have the emperor deposed and potentially put him in a situation where he would die. Textbook treason, okay?
Yeah.
Two, did it in a way that was like, he's essentially a Kingslayer Kingsguard, right? This is a Jaime Lannister. Somebody, they've like broken their oath to protect this person. Not only are they committing treason against their nation, they're breaking their promise, their pinky promise, that they won't do that thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It feels like that deserves a worse punishment. It feels like, not when I say deserves, I mean like, if you want to like make people think twice before doing this, it feels like you would want to like really make it bad. You'd want to be like, it's way worse than if you just do treason. Like, doing treason is bad, and we will also potentially murder you in that case. But doing treason after you're one of the four bodyguards who are protecting the emperor is like the worst thing we can think of, because this is like, we want nobody to ever do this.
Right. Well, the crazy thing is, this is the same punishment.
Yes, if they fail.
If he dies, like, if the emperor dies.
Exactly.
At all.
Exactly. Yes. Doesn't feel like those should be the same, right?
Right. Okay. I see what you're saying now, and I do agree with you.
And I think too, though, like I could see an argument for why they could be the same, because you want people to really care that the emperor doesn't die.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you want people to care so much that the emperor doesn't die. Care to the point where they are like, this is not just the end of my life if he dies. This is the worst possible way anyone has imagined my life to end if the emperor dies.
Yeah.
Why is this empire so nice, Luke?
I was gonna say, I feel like this, and maybe this is mostly like through Maya's eyes, but like this is like too forgiving of this betrayal.
Yeah, it feels that way, huh?
To the point where like the guy is like crying in this meetup that he has with the emperor, and it's like, you don't like, I don't know how to say this, but like, you're not allowed to cry. Okay.
Agreed. 100% agreed.
Because like, what is this? Like you're doing like a small bean. You're like, oh, I'm just a small bean. Don't hurt me. And it's like, no, you were like someone entrusted with the safety of the emperor.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, no, I get to cry. You have to apologize to me. I get to cry and you get to say, I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. You don't get to cry in front of me because your little plan that could have had me literally killed didn't go as you thought it would.
Right.
I would be so... Maya, I feel like, has no self-respect, honestly. Yeah. I would have been so pissed at this guy if he's just like sobbing. Like, I would be like, shut the fuck up. Say what you have to say. Stop crying. I know. You coward.
I know.
Dude sucked. I'm glad he's dead, honestly.
I am too.
He deserved it.
He's a dummy. He's a dummy too. Terrible. Not a well thought out coup attempt.
Bad coup attempt. I think, here's what I do think. The other members of the court put him up to it because they were like, these people suck. We need to, it's a win-win for us. Either we lose these two assholes or the emperor actually gets couped and then we get to just run shit how we like it normally.
Right. Because the coup attempt basically gets foiled by him being like, well, does Idris want to be emperor? And they're like, now we have to ask Idris.
They're like, fuck, we never thought of that.
That's not how you do a coup attempt. I'm sorry.
Also, especially considering he was able to like garner that level of support from Idris with like one 30-minute chit chat.
Yeah.
Damn. You guys did not think this through at all. You had 13 years to prep this kid to think how you wanted him to, and you couldn't even get him to go along with your coup attempt?
I know. Ugh. I know. It was bad. It was bad.
It's a bummer.
It is a bummer. Yeah.
But anyway, Luke, looks like Maya's staying on the throne for now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to see what horrific punishment they're going to give to the organizers of the coup.
Yes.
If it is worse than this bodyguard got, I'm going to be so upset.
Yeah.
Because while it does feel like it's a little bit worse than they planned it, they were not sworn to like guard his life on pain of death. So, it better be like, all right, you guys have to like walk naked through the street and we all yell shame at you and then that's it, or something like that.
You're in a very Game of Thrones mood today.
I don't know why. I just am. but Luke, that's not what we're reading, because next week we're finishing up the Goblin Emperor.
That's right.
We'll be bringing the hot takes
and being dumb nerds.